There is so much around us, so much in the world, so much difficulty, so much unrest, so much distress, that we find ourselves often grumbling about things that really shouldn't bother us too awfully much. Our Lord Jesus told us, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Sodom, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. People ate and drank, they married, and they're given in marriage. Now, people read that and they think, well, boy, this surely signs of the end time. No, ever since the sin and fall of our father Adam, folks have been living for this world.
Yes, sir.
Eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. Just living to fulfill the lust of their flesh, seeking gratification to the lust of their flesh, and never able to find it. Never able to find it. There are two things that give me indescribable satisfaction. God's salvation. I am satisfied with God's salvation. Jesus Christ the Lord is all my righteousness, all my redemption, all my acceptance with God, all my hope. By the grace of God, I rest my soul entirely on Him, entirely on the doing and dying of the Son of God, and will not contribute so much as the lifting of my little finger to that salvation. It's God's work, and it's mine by His grace.
Amen.
Oh, may God make it yours. And if He will, you will find satisfaction for your soul in the Redeemer. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, the Savior said, and I will give you rest. And you will never find it anywhere else. You won't find it in the amusements of the world, and you won't find it in the entertainment of religion, and you won't find it in your best efforts at doing good to please God. You'll find rest for your soul only by resting in Christ, ceasing from your works, trusting the Son of God. And I find immense satisfaction for my soul in God's adorable, wise, and good providence. He rules the world, and He rules the world well. He rules the world, and He rules the world well. Let us rest in His wisdom, in His grace, in His goodness, in His purpose. And finding satisfaction in those two things, I find myself in very good company. You can read in 2 Samuel 23 about a man after God's own heart by the name of David, who's lying on his deathbed, and this is what he said: although my house be not so with God, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation and all my desire. Now I recognize that you face many difficulties, obstacles, trials, and heartaches in this world. Brother Scott Richardson said one time, he and I were preaching together, he said, life in this world, not much. He says, it starts off with a slap on the bottom, and it ends with a shovel full of dirt in your face, and everything in between just bumps and bruises. And that's a pretty good description of the way things are.
Yes, sir.
This world is a world of woe because it's a world of sin. It's a world of trouble because it's a world of sin. It's a world of heartache because it's a world of sin. And for God's people, it is still a world of woe, of trouble, and of heartache. Because God would have us set our hearts upon things above, not on things on this earth. Now, I've got a message for you tonight that will be of comfort to you if God will be pleased to speak by His servant His word to your heart. I want to focus our attention on two little words. Just two little words. They're used together 220 times in the book of God. Almost always these two words are used in connection with the Lord God, our triune Jehovah, and His people. The two words are all things. All things. Now, before we look at the text we're going to look at this evening, I want you to understand this. When God says all things, He doesn't mean some things. He doesn't mean most things. He doesn't even mean all good things. When God says all things, God means all things. All things. Now, obviously, we can't look at all these various texts of Scripture where these two words are found together. But we're going to look at a bunch of them. I've got a message tonight with 19 points. And I promise I'll be done in less than 45 minutes. And I would suggest that you get your piece of paper out. If you want to try to follow through the Scriptures, that's fine. But I'd suggest you get a piece of paper out and just jot down the references and listen as I read them. Let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18. Here's the first thing. All things are of God.
Amen.
Oh, if you can get hold of that, that'll sail your boat through most any trouble. Just how far do we carry those words in our thinking? Just how far can you carry those things? All things are of God. If you can stretch your imagination to include everything that has been, everything that is, and everything that shall hereafter be. That's what it means.
Yes, sir.
If you can stretch your minds up to the highest height of heaven and down to the lowest dark pit of hell, to the farthest reaches of the west, and the farthest reaches of the east, that's what it takes in. All things.
Amen.
All things. All creatures, all men, all doings, all actions of all angels and all devils, everything begins with God. Everything. Well, you charge God with sin? Not at all. Not at all. But sin's under His rule.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Satan does a lot of evil, but it doesn't wiggle without God's direction. You remember the issue came up. Satan presents himself before the son, before God with the sons of God in Job chapter 1. And it's God who brings up the issue of Job, not Satan.
That's right.
Have you considered my servant Job? And Satan went out and brought a lot of trouble to Job. He came back and he gave report again. And God said, I ask you, do you consider my servant Job? And he brings the whole thing up again. Whole thing up again. What are you telling this preacher? Everything, everybody is under the absolute rule of our God.
Amen.
All things are of God. All things in creation. This is God's world. This is God's world. We just left Monday morning back home. Let's see, what was it? January the 24th. That's big snow came. Came on Friday. January 23rd, 22nd. We had nearly 18 inches of snow in Danville, Kentucky. Boy, global warming is going to kill us. Some of you got that. This is God's world. And God's going to burn it up. You're not going to. God created all things. He created all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What a statement. What a statement. All things in creation are of God. And all things in providence are of God. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. William Cowper wrote one of my favorite hymns. It's not in many of our hymn books. I think you have a little portion of it in your hymn book. God moves in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep, deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessing on your head. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan His work in vain. God is His own interpreter. God will make it plain. In the salvation of our souls, and that's what Paul's particularly talking about here in 2 Corinthians 5, he tells us all things are of God. The whole business of salvation is God's work. Brother John quoted Romans 9:16 a little bit ago. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. There are two things to which men constantly revert when they wish to take credit for God's work. When they wish to ascribe salvation to themselves and not to God. They take credit for doing good and having a free will. Isn't that amazing? I do good. Now, don't tell me I don't do good. I do good. I don't steal and I don't lie and I don't cheat. You steal, lie, and cheat all the time. All the time. You may not do so with your hands, but you do it here. I don't commit adultery. I don't murder all the time. All the time. I know what's in you because it's in me. It's in me. You don't know what, you don't even know what good is, let alone do it. Don't know what it is. We don't even know how to do good, let alone do good. We don't even know what it is to do good, let alone do it. So men constantly talk about their works. And when the scriptures speak about salvation, over and over again, by grace are you saved. Now don't forget, not of works. By grace are you saved. Not of works. By grace you say, not of works. We're justified by faith. Not of works. And the scriptures constantly emphasize that. And when men don't brag on their works, they say, well, we don't believe we're saved by works. But now, you can't tell me I don't have a will in this matter. I don't have a choice in this matter. You do. You do. Man's got a will. And man makes choices. But you make the wrong choices. Man's got a will. His will's kind of like a frog in a snake's belly. It can jump around all it wants to, it just can't get out. And your will's wrapped up in your nature. And you cannot will that which is contrary to your nature. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Salvation in its totality is God's work. He chose us because he would choose us. He loved us because he would love us. He redeemed us because he would redeem us. He called us because he would call us. He forgave us because he would forgive us. He made us righteous because he would make us righteous. He accepts us in the beloved because he chose to accept us. Because of his grace, we are saved, and only because of his grace. All things are of God. Number two, Proverbs 16:4. Listen to this. The Lord hath made all things for himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. I do not presently see what God is doing in all things. I really don't. Like you, I've been tolerating that fellow we have in the White House for the last 8 years. I don't have a clue why God put him there, but he did.
That's right.
I wish he wasn't there. According to my whim, I'm so thankful he is. God put him there. God put him there. Right. Now, if I have a choice, I won't vote for him another time, just as I did in the previous two times. But God put him there. I'm glad he's there. God does exactly what he will. He made all things for himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. I don't understand what he's doing, but I'm assured of this. In all things, the Lord God is making himself an everlasting and a glorious name. Listen to this. You can look at it in Isaiah 64 later. He led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them. Why did he do that? To make himself an everlasting name. He led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble. As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name.
Yes.
When you read the newspaper in the morning and catch up on the news of the week a little bit, and you start to get real disgusted, understand and read between the lines. What's God doing? He's making himself an everlasting and glorious name.
Amen.
And he's doing it in the saving of his people. Number three. Listen to this in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Brother Mike read verses 3 through 9 to us yesterday morning. Verse 10 reads like this. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. All things are of God. All things are made for God. And all things are disposed of by God, including you and me. All things are disposed of by him. Everything that comes to pass in time, everything that comes to pass in time, was predestinated by our God in eternity and is brought to pass according to his wise, holy, good purpose of grace for the saving of his elect and the glory of his name. Number four. John 3:35 says, the Father loveth the Son and hath put all things in his hands. Given all things into his hand. All things are in the hands of Christ. All things are in the hand of Christ. God has put all things, the triune Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost have put all things in the hands of Christ, the God-man mediator, our surety, for the saving of our souls, for the accomplishment of His purpose, and for the glory of His name. And He's put everything under His feet. Put everything under His feet so that everything is in subjection to our Redeemer. And everything is in His hand. And God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name that's above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Sooner or later, everybody is going to acknowledge our Savior as rightful God, Lord, and King. And He holds the reins of the universe. Rejoice, oh my heart, rejoice. Be at peace, oh my soul, be at peace. He who died as my substitute, He whose hands were pierced for me, holds the reins of the universe. He sits upon the throne of the universe, King of kings and Lord of lords, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Number 5, back in 2 Corinthians again, chapter 4, verse 15. All things are for your sakes. Why'd God do that? He did it just for Gene Hartman. That's exactly right.
Sir.
Exactly right. My wife and I have had some things that look at and just marvel. Just marvel at God's providence. If I could do it without calling attention to me, I'd write a book on the subject. He performeth all things for me. I can point to things in my life's history accomplished by God's good purpose from which no one benefited anything except me. Just me. I met a young man at our conference in September. He was in Iraq, and his brother had been converted, got listening to some of our messages, and he sent Andre the disc and put him on the web page to listen to his messages, encourage him to listen, and then he'd write to him and make sure he listened, and then ask him questions about it. And Andre said to me, I don't know why we were involved in that war in Iraq, except for one thing, God did it just for me. God did it. He fixed it so I would hear His word and believe His son. He performeth all things for us. That's what the book says.
Yes,
Job 23. He performeth a thing that's appointed for me. I will cry unto God, David said, Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Oh, what a Savior we have. Imagine that.
Amen.
Imagine that. Whatever has been, whatever is, and whatever shall be tomorrow, God performs for me. For me. It's not what God does to you, Don. It's what God does for you. Got that?
Yes, sir.
You got that? Why did God do this to me? Oh, no. Why did God do this for me? He does all things for me. We tend, in our unbelief, our ungodly unbelief, like Jacob, to say, all these things are against me. And bless his heart, he didn't have a clue. All these things he should have said are for me. God didn't do this whole thing just for me. Just for me. Number 6. I want you to turn to this one. You can quote it, but I want you to turn there. Romans 8:28. Let's take just a brief look. All things work together. Any study of God's providence, ought to reprove our hearts because of our horrible, inexcusable unbelief. And any study of God's providence at the same time should encourage us truly to trust our great, gracious, and glorious God. Look at this, Romans 8:28. We. All who are born of God and taught of God. We know. We know because the book of God says so. We know because God the Holy Spirit's convinced us of it. We know because we've experienced it. That all things, the things we dreaded and the things we prayed for, the things we wept over, the things we rejoiced in, the things that broke our hearts and the things that soothed our hearts, all things work together. Together. We tend to look at things, you know, a little at a time. Just a little at a time. I tried my best to help some preachers just recently. Young men, we were together, we're chatting a little bit. And I said, you sure mess things up when you start looking at details a lot. And they were both a little bit put out by it, and I don't mean about that in a bad way. They're good friends. The young men are trying to help. And there happened to be something close by, a picture. And I said to them, come here, come here. Here's the picture. Take a good look at it. Take a good look at it. What can you see? Well, not much. And it's not very pretty. Now I see the whole thing.
Yep.
Now I see the whole thing. We like to look at details. And we get confused with details. Because we don't understand the details. We try to get a microscope and see the whole picture through a microscope. Now microscopes are useful, but they don't reveal anything pretty. Now, I've never looked through many, but I've looked through a few, and I've never seen anything in a microscope I wanted to look at a second time. Now, it didn't mean a thing. But the whole picture, man, alive. I've got a picture hanging in our house, Brother Mike did this, what's it called out here, the meal out here, I forgot what it was now, but hanging in our house. Beautiful thing. I never do walk up and stick my nose on the glass and try to see the details of it. It'd lose everything. But the beauty of the whole thing, all things work together. 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 For good. Temporal good, spiritual good, eternal good. Together for good to them that love God. To them that love God. I wonder why he said that rather than to them that trust God. Reckon why. I don't act like it much. But I sure love that gal over there. And sometimes I just have to cry because I act so much like I don't. But you know what? I never really question whether or not I love that girl. Never really do. No, I love her. She has reason to question, but I never question. I love her. And I don't say much to anybody about my love for God because it's not worth talking about. And I don't act much like I love him. But love him I do.
Amen.
All things work together for good to them that love God. Who are they? Them who are the called. Those who love God, who are those who have been called of God. Called according to his purpose. His purpose, his eternal, sovereign, free purpose of love and grace in Christ Jesus to make us conformable to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God's providence is always good. He knows just what we need. In everlasting wisdom, He all things for us decreed. I can't help but to think of Rosemary and her physical difficulties, Lamar and Carol and their difficulties. In everlasting wisdom, He all things for us decreed. No sparrow falls upon the ground, but by my God's decrees, He raises men to powers and then removes them as He please. Both happiness and sorrow come by my Father's care, by Him who has with tender care numbered His children's hair. All things are by my Father's hand, with tender care dispensed. Oh, let me then with childlike faith trust His good providence. Amen. Number 7, 1 Corinthians 3:21. All things are yours. Your property, your possession, for you're Christ and Christ is God's. All things spiritual, all grace, all blessings, all privileges, all ministry are yours. All things temporal are yours to use and enjoy for the glory of God and one another's good. Everything. All things heavenly, the angels of God, the throne of God, the Son of God, all are yours. All things eternal, all the glory of glory, all are yours, for you are Christ. Now I want you to turn to another one. Matthew 22. Here's the 8th thing. Here's a word especially for you who are without God, especially for you who do not believe God, especially for you who are yet without Christ. Here's a word to all God's people, especially to you and I, men who are sent to preach the gospel of God's grace. Matthew 22, verse 4. All things are ready. He sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage. Yes, come to the marriage. Come just as you are. And don't bring anything with you. If you're like me, most men, I think, don't much like go to weddings. I don't like to be bothered with all the, well, I got to be careful what I say. I'll upset somebody. I don't like to be bothered with all the stuff that goes on. If I could just go through the ceremony and watch you say hello and greet one another, watch the groom kiss his bride, and you throw a little rice at him going, it'd be all right. You just have to go through all the other stuff. But I've never been to a wedding yet, except my own, where I didn't feel obliged to bring something. It's just the thing to do. Yeah. Now, I don't mean I object to it, but I wouldn't do it if I didn't want to do it, but it's just the thing to do. You take a gift to the couple. If you bring anything to this wedding, you can't come.
That's right.
Everything in this wedding is provided by the Father, and the bride has no doubt in it. Everything is ready. Come to the marriage. Come to Christ. Oh, God help you. Come to Christ. Can I come? If you can, you can. If you can, you can. Right where you are, come on to Christ. And He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. All things are ready. Here is complete pardon through Christ's precious blood. Complete righteousness by Christ's obedience. Perfect acceptance in Christ the Beloved. Unconditional salvation They shall not depart from me. They shall never perish. Absolute security. Come to Christ. All is yours. Now listen to this. Number 9. Acts 13:39. By Christ, all that believe are justified from all things. God's elect are justified from all things. From all things. But preacher, you don't know what I've been. Yes, I do. But you don't know what I've done. Yes, I do. I don't need to hear it from you. Please don't tell me. But preacher, it's not possible for a sinner like me to be saved. Look up here. Look up here. Look at this man talking to you. Have you got a good look now? You too, God can save.
Amen.
You too, God can pardon. He saved me by His grace, and I am justified from everything I have ever been, said, thought, or done.
Amen.
Justified. God doesn't remember it against me and promises He will not forever. I can't forget it. God can't remember it. God can't remember it. How come? Because Christ Jesus has, by the sacrifice of Himself, put away my sin.
Amen.
Annihilated it. It's gone.
Yes,
men and brethren, whosoever among you feareth God to you is this word of this salvation sent. Number 10. All things are possible with God. You don't need to turn there, but in Matthew 19:26. Our Lord said to His disciples, with God all things are possible. The rich young ruler had come. And he said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit the kingdom of God, or enter in the kingdom of God? And the Savior kind of set him back on his heels. He said, why do you call me good? No man's good but God. In other words, are you here to confess that I'm God? He said, go and keep the commandments. He said, I always did. He said, well, let's see. Go and sell everything you've got, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And that fellow looked at his bank account and looked at the Lord Jesus, looked at his bank account, looked at the Savior. He said, I don't think so. And walked away. And the Savior looked at His disciples and said, it's impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, it's easier for a camel to crawl through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples, they obviously knew that young man. Man, he's remarkable. That's the fellow I wanted my daughter to marry. Man, he's just remarkable. Who then can be saved? And the Savior told him two things. With men, it's impossible. You can't save yourself, and you can't save anybody else. You can't contribute to your salvation, and you can't contribute to somebody else's salvation.
That's right.
With men, it's impossible. But bless God, He said something else. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
With God, all things are possible. That rich young man who just left here, he'll be all right. He'll be all right. Jesus looked on him and loved him. Jesus, some say it was the Saul of Tarsus. I don't know who it was, but I know whoever he was. If he's loved of God, he's all right. I'll see him in glory. I'll find out then.
Amen.
With God, even that rich young man who would not come to Christ, who would not give up his riches, who would not follow Him, turned and followed the Savior and crawled through the eye of that needle into the kingdom of God. God saves sinners.
Mm.
Number 11. Mark 9:23. All things are possible to to you who believe. Our Savior here meets a man who brought his demon-possessed, speechless boy to the Savior. And he said, "Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And the Savior said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And he said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief."
Amen.
"I believe, help thou mine unbelief." And you know what happened? You know what happened? His demon-possessed, speechless boy was healed by omnipotent mercy because his father believed God. Now let that set in. This man brought his son who could not and would not come to the Savior, who could not and would not beg for mercy. So he brings him and begs for mercy for him. Several years ago, one of the men in our congregation reading scripture, and after he finished reading the scripture, praying, and he made a statement in his prayer I don't think I'll ever forget, Brother Rex Bartley. He said, "Father, we never read anywhere in your word of any sinner who ever came to the Lord Jesus seeking mercy for himself who didn't get it. And never once do we find anywhere any who sought your mercy for his child who didn't get it. So we bring our lost children to you and ask that you will be merciful to them for Christ's sake." You've got a son or daughter who will not and cannot come to the Savior, you bring him. Lay him in the Master's arms and leave him there. You got a child who will not and cannot come to Christ, you bring him. Lay him in the Master's arms and beg for mercy. All things are possible to them who believe. Preacher, you tell us if we pray for our children, it guarantees their salvation. No, no. But I guarantee you the Son of God is merciful. And he hears the brokenhearted cry of his child and will no more withhold from you that which your heart desires for his glory than you would withhold from your child bread when he's hungry. I believe with all my heart. All things are possible to them that believe. We come to the Savior and we have difficulties. We have obstacles to overcome. Trials to endure. Don't know how I can go on. Don't know what I'll do. Let me tell you something. If Christ is your strength, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
That's right.
If your strength is in yourself, that's another story. Mm-hmm. But if Christ is my strength, I can do all things through him that strengtheneth me. Number 12. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Nearly 50 years ago, God snatched me from the gaping jaws of hell and gave me faith in his darling son and saved me by his grace. And life started all over. Life started all over. Man, I had made a mess of things. I had made a mess of things. You wouldn't believe somebody in 17 years could make such a mess. I had made a mess of things. But God made all things new. And you know, Jim, I've been making a mess of things ever since. But I just can't mess this up. Just can't mess this up. God has promised He will not impute sin to me. He will not charge me with iniquity. He will never cease my soul to cherish. He's given me a new name He won't take away. A new nature that can't be harmed. A new record in heaven that can't be marred. He's given me a perfect robe of righteousness and soon going to give me a new creation. Number 12, or number 13, Romans 8:32. All things are freely given to us as needed.
Yes.
He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He who sacrificed His darling Son for us won't withhold anything from us. I've told you this before, but I like to tell it because it makes me look so good. Our daughter married Doug Hacker back in 1995. And they got back from their honeymoon. They came to the house. The first time they were there, I took Doug and showed him where everything in the house was. Gave him keys to everything. Showed him where all my tools were. All that stuff that you use. Showed him where all the insurance papers were. And I said, Doug, this is yours. It's yours. You use it as you want to. Car, truck, tools, anything. If I'm not in town, you're all over here. You got the key to the door. Just come and make yourself at home. Would you really do that? Yeah, I really did that. I had just given him my daughter. You think I would give him a screwdriver? God gave you His Son. God gave you His Son. What do you think He's going to hold back from you? Number 14. God's saints understand all things. Evil men, Proverbs 28:5 says, understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. We're taught of God and we know the origin of all things. Oh, where did that tsunami come from? Where did that earthquake come from? Where did that flood come from? Where did that tornado come from? Where did that hurricane come from? God sent it. And we understand the end of all things. He does it for the saving of His elect and the glory of His name. And we understand the nature of all things in this world are temporal. And we understand all things spiritual. We've been taught of God and we have the mind of Christ. Number 15. Ephesians 5:20. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is talking about walking in the Spirit. This is what it is to walk in the Spirit. It's to live by faith. And living by faith, we bow to God with thankful hearts in all things. And that glorifies God and it breeds peace both in ourselves and in God's people. In everything, give thanks. I said, Pastor, that's not easy. Believe me, I know that's not easy. Except when you believe God. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yes.
I have a very dear friend at home. He'd been in worship services once in 2 years. The rest of the time he'd been in bed just about all the time. He can't even turn over in bed now. His wife doesn't have any help taking care of him. Just what little help she gets from our congregation. And I hurt for him. And I'll be honest with you. If I could change it, I would. Because I don't have any sense. Because I love them, but God, who loves that couple infinitely more than I can imagine loving them, declares this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning them. And they wouldn't have it to endure, and wouldn't have it in a circumstance in which now they have opportunity to believe God and glorify God as no one else can. They wouldn't have it except by the will of God. So it is with you, my brother and my sister. And then in Acts 3:21, we read about a day called the restitution of all things. A day. And I'm sure looking forward to it. A day when we're going to see all things bowing to the feet of the Son of God, and see how that all things have worked together for good to our souls and good for His glory. Won't it be wonderful?
Yes, sir.
Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Look yet for mercy. We'll understand it all by and by. Number 17. Revelation 21:7 declares, we who believe shall inherit all things. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. No back settlements in the heavenly Jerusalem. We will inherit everything. Number 18. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Brother Milton Howard, in his bulletin for tomorrow, has an article that says something like this. When Christ comes in His glory, that'll be the end of all our troubles and all our struggles. The end of all our toils and all our trials. The end of all our temptations and all our sins. The end of all our sorrows and all our care. The end of all our weeping and the end of this world. And that will be the end of all our opportunities. And that will be the end of God's grace. The end of all things is at hand. I've got just a little while longer. Maybe a day or two. Maybe a year or two. It's my opportunity to serve God, my Savior. Soon, the end of all things is coming. Number 19. Turn to Mark chapter 7 and verse 37. This is my final word for you, and I pray God will seal it to your heart. When the end of my days on this earth comes, and I look over life's finished story, I'm confident this will be my final word. And when the end of all things comes and time shall be no more, this will be the final word of the story from all rational creatures. He hath done all things well.
Yes, sir.
Blessed be His name. God our Savior has done all things well. Oh, for a heart prepared to sing to God my Savior and my King. With all the saints I'll join to tell, my Jesus hath done all things well. All worlds His glorious power confess, His wisdom all His works confess. But oh, his love, what tongue can tell? My Jesus hath done all things well. How sovereign, wonderful, and free is all his love to send for me. He plucked me as a brand from hell. My Jesus hath done all things well. And since my soul has known his love, what mercies he has made me prove. Mercies which all my praise excel. My Jesus will do all things well. Soon I must pass this veil of death, and in his arms shall lose my breath. Yet then my happy soul shall tell, my Jesus hath done all things well. And when to that bright world I rise, join the anthems in the skies, among the rest this note shall swell, my Jesus, oh, he hath done all things well.
Amen. Amen.